It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. And the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 412-928-9370 is the text line, and also the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That number is also 412-928-9370. Bob, Paul Skenes, we've seen guys come up with incredible expectations. We've seen, you know, players that have been drafted in the NFL or players that have been, drafted in NBA, NHL, or whatever. I cannot, for the life of me, think of any who so quickly have probably even exceeded expectations already. I mean, you know, there are guys, obviously, that get drafted in the NBA, for instance, and maybe a year or two later, they really start taking off and becoming, you know what I mean?
You're more likely to see it in the NBA or the NHL,
NFL,
even.
Yeah, or the NFL. I mean, you know, I think, you know, the great players that have come into the league, great quarterbacks.
But they're ready for it. They've been 4 years of a minor league system, essentially, some of them.
But there's always like a learning curve and a growing pains and that all that stuff. Paul Skenes came into Major League Baseball with a lot of people saying he's one of the best pitching prospects ever. One of the best pitching prospects ever. And from day one, he's done nothing but basically show that's who he is.
Yeah, I mean, the expectations were extremely high, as they would be for any number one pick overall. And he just come right in, and his attitude, man, that's the thing that separates him. He knows. He's confident. Confident comes from knowing what you're doing. And he's the other thing about him, he's just not some guy who's going to throw the ball 100 miles an hour. He can. But when he gives you those other looks that he gives you, and to have it mastered at the age of 22 now, is pretty remarkable. Because normally guys can throw. It takes them a while to learn how to pitch. In his case, though, he can throw and pitch. He knows how to maneuver. You know, and he has four different pitches that he can throw at you at different times. And so you can be guessing, you know, fastball one time and get a splinker. You could be guessing, you know, sweeper and get a fastball. So it's just about balance. He knows how to keep guys off balance, Paul. And that's a rare thing to see in a 22 year. It's also extremely rare. We've never seen it before. 10 games into a major league career and he's in the All-Star game. But that's how good he has been for baseball and why baseball knows that he has to be in this game. The question is, does he start? Does he come in? Does he close? Or you pick a spot where all eyes will be on him against like three of the top hitters in the game. You can do that as a starter, but you can also do it later in the game when you know who's coming up.
Right. I just think he's such a phenom. Everybody in the national writers, everybody, you know, that follows baseball knows him, follows him, wants to see him. It's incredible.
And a lot of people haven't seen him yet. You know, they see the difference is today with all the social media stuff, you can see whatever you want to see. Back in the day, if Paul Skenes were just somebody that you heard about but you never saw, you'd want to see him. It still holds true today, but it's, you know, you've seen the videos of him over and over and again on so many social media or highlight packages. So you know what he can do. But still, You have to tell me the other night 37-0-37 came out. It wasn't because of a buckethead hat. It was because of Paul Skeens. He was the guy. It just so happened to be on a Friday night, which is good, on a holiday weekend, which makes it easier. But still, that many people came out because it was a Skeens night. And I bet going forward, when they know it's going to be him, you're going to see huge crowds.
Yeah.
Here and wherever.
No, I mean, I think that's the thing. When he pitches, all eyes are on the Pirates. They just are. And the other day, I think what was impressive, the one start he had where he quote-unquote labored, right?
And, two runs.
And fought through it, and he still struck out like eight or nine guys or whatever right. It was. I mean, he's just that guy where he's that good, you know? It wasn't his last start. When they won, you know, that was a game where they scored 14 runs or whatever. It was the start before that. So it would have been, I think the two, did they lose 2-1? Yeah. Like, Skeens, if you look at what he did in that game, they played Atlanta, they lost 2-1. But he quote-unquote labored. He got through six innings, gave up six hits, nine strikeouts.
Well, the thing is, he's been able to minimize jams. Whenever right. he gets into one, it's rare. I don't think he's left the game where he's ever trailed.
He hasn't.
And all these starts, which is pretty remarkable in and of itself. So, you know, this is a guy who knows how to get ahead of you in the count, but he also knows if he gets into a jam, he's confident enough in how he will throw to you that he can get out of those jams. So all he needs is run support. Out of 10 starts, he's 5-0. He could very easily have 9 wins.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. He's a guy who, if he stays in the rotation and stays healthy, which he will, he'll have enough starts and innings and everything to qualify for all the awards at the end of the year. I mean, one of the things is, isn't there some weird thing where if he wins the Rookie of the Year, whatever extra year or whatever.
Yeah, it affects the Pirates.
Doesn't it affect the Pirates yeah. in some ways where I forget exactly what it is. I think it's one of those years of control thing where if he gets Rookie of the Year, maybe they lose that extra
yeah,
year.
I think that's there's something similar to that. So City Limits, maybe you could help us out with that if you look into it.
Yeah, they would gain a draft pick, but they would lose a year of control of Skeens.
But that leads to this question. If you're the Pirates, how proactive should you be about, you know, you see guys get contracts all the time now, even before they play, you know, some of these guys. So would you be willing, he's only making less than $600,000 this year, whatever he's making, yeah. it's a pittance compared to the most. In an effort to keep him here a little longer, would you be willing to open up, now I probably know the answer to this already, but if you're going to sign him to anything, this would be the time to sign him, knowing full well, Paul, that there could be a time where he suffers an injury, because it seems like all these guys suffer and you lose a few years or a year and a half or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So, but I would be willing to engage that right here, right now. Would you?
You have him, what, through 2029 maybe? I think is his third arbitration year. He becomes a free agent after
Yeah, but
that.
It could change again if you get to the point where that yeah. Rookie of the Year comes into play. My so point is, would he be willing to do it?
Probably not.
Well, but he cannot control that narrative. Only the Pirates can. If the Pirates don't want to pay him, they don't have to.
It would have to be a lot of money.
What's a lot of money for a 22-year-old after 1 year?
Yeah.
Tell me what that looks like. 6 years, how much?
Well, they have him signed through 2029.
Not signed.
Well, under control, yeah. Whatever you want to say. He's under control through 2029. The next 2 years, they're still at the $700,000 or whatever the pre-arb numbers are, right?
Well, if he goes to arbitration, just imagine the jump.
So the arbitration in 27 and 28 and 29, I mean, he could be $20 million pitcher.
20, right? More than that.
Whatever. So let's say he could get 50. By 2029, they'd have to pay him like a total of, say, like 40 or 50 million bucks probably.
Yeah, but if you sign him, you can get rid of all of that.
If you sign him to 2020, say, we'll sign you through 2031. Which is
7 years.
7 years. 140 million.
He'd still be 29. He'd get another contract.
140 million. Would you do it?
I'd want more.
Well, I'm saying if you're him, I'm guaranteeing you $140 million. It means you get Tommy John, you get hurt, you get injury, All you're going to do is give me two of your free agent years.
The logic there is you get guaranteed money to secure yourself from any kind of thing that can happen.
Exactly.
But the other side of it is you could be costing yourself money by signing now.
True.
And there could be big money involved in this. So, that's always the question. When Andrew McCutchen signed his deal here, a lot of people thought he should have waited. He would have gotten more. But he had the peace of mind knowing that he had $51 million in the bank, that no matter what happened to him, he was going to get the $51 million. So if you're more of a conservative person, but Paul Skeens strikes me as someone who's more a bet on me guy. Bet on me. I'm going to bet on myself. So I'll bet on myself. And if that's the way he feels, then there's nothing you can do other than whatever his demands are, come close to him.
Well, I would say, I don't know that he would do $140 million, but if he would, I would jump at it. Because here's the other thing, Bob. 4 years into the thing, say you in 2028, you feel like you're going to have to rebuild a little bit. You'd have a 26-year-old phenom for guaranteed $20 million a year for three more years. You should be able to get a king's ransom for that.
No, I get it. There are a lot of variables in play here.
I don't know that he would do that, though.
I think he's a bet on myself guy, and he strikes me that way. And those guys are tough, to take less when they think their value is more.
Right. Well, what was his signing bonus?
We got like $9 million. He got a big one. The one thing about the Pirates, they haven't been shy about giving those big bonuses.
He's won one, so he got a signing bonus, $9.2 million bucks. So I mean,
he doesn't have to do another thing the rest of his life, really.
He already has $9 million.
Yeah, but he may, these guys are after, you know how it is. They want the largest contract. If they feel they're worthy of it, then they want it.
Yeah. The next 2 years, he's still going to make like the $600,000. That's what's incredible.
And the Pirates don't have to do anything. But that would send a message. I'm telling you, Gerrit Cole got wrangled. Remember when Gerrit Cole didn't like the fact that he had a great year? It may have been the 19-9 season, and he didn't get a pay boost at all, and they didn't see the move.
And they argued with him about $20,000 or something like that. It caused a problem.
And that's a PR thing. If you're the Pirates, you don't want that. You don't want to look like the team that's never going to do that.
If Paul Skeens comes in next year and says, you know what?
How about if he wins Rookie of the Year this year and is in contention for Cy Young this year and then wins a Cy Young next year?
The big thing is, if you're him, you're like, listen, I make $560,000. Next year, pre-arbitration, I know that the number goes to like $650,000 for my second year. But guess what? I want $1 million. If you're the Pirates, you have to pay that. But here's the thing. If you're the Pirates, you have him and Jared Jones for the next 2 seasons after this one, where both of them are going to combine to make about $1.5 million tops. Combined for those two guys at the top of your rotation. If you don't actually go out and try and put together a team around those two guys the next 2 years, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I don't know either. To me, that's a big part of this, a way to look at it. And if you're Jared Jones, a different case. Jared Jones, very effective pitcher, but you don't have to respond the way you would for Skeens at this point.
Right. I'm just saying.
When do you expect Jared Jones to come back, by the way? They made it sound yesterday, Ben Cherington, like it was, even though he didn't give a timeline, it sounded as if it's going to be later in the year.
Yeah, it's at least a
month.
When
you shut someone down for two weeks,
here's the thing,
you got to build them back up. It takes time.
Here's the thing. Don't think for 1 second if they go on like a 5 or 6 game losing streak that it stretches into 5 or 6 weeks, that they shut him down for 5 or 6 weeks. You know what I mean?
Well, he's not yet at his career max in terms of innings. He set that last year, I think, at 123. So he's still got, I don't know. I'm to the point where I just want to see guys pitch. If you're healthy, pitch. And if he's legitimately not healthy, then he can't pitch. I get that. But I would hope that whatever the case may be, that he would be back when he's capable of being back.
Right. I just think that they're not going to bring him back. I would be willing to bet if they're so cautious with him. Because the bottom line is if they could stretch him out to 5 or 6 weeks, now all of a sudden they probably don't have to play nearly as many games in terms of, you know, shutting him down innings wise and skipping starts and all that stuff. I mean, the one thing that was pretty clear was when they started talking about his innings count and where it was at. You kind of knew, okay, they're really monitoring these things. And I'm not saying that his injury is false. I'm saying now that they have, you know, he's 91 innings pitched. Now that they have, soreness, discomfort, whatever it is, they have a reason to shut him down for a while. Because I don't know that they want him to get to 150 innings, you know?
Well, you know, whether or not that stuff goes on behind closed doors, I don't know. All I know is that when they're healthy, I want to see him pitch.
Right.
You can't control all of this. And sometimes you can baby things to the point where you actually hurt him more, I think. You know, you gotta let guys pitch a little bit. And they build those innings up. You can't be always afraid that they're going to exceed a certain amount of, and then presume there'll be an injury. Just pitch. This goes also with my thing about this. Some of these lineups that we see on some days that are very important games, and I want to see my best players out there most every day. You know, Reynolds hasn't missed a game all year, I don't think.
Right.
And has his production had gone up? No, it's gone better. You know, maybe sometimes you just got to work it out by being in there.
Right. Right. But again, they're just going to be really cautious with those two. We got some call. Who we got on the line there, Austin?
We got Doc in Claysville.
All right, Doc. How we doing, Doc?
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Hey, the key word is proactive. Here's the key. In other words, you got to go get a couple veterans during this tough stretch coming up. The next 20 games, they got to win at least 14. And they need two bats. I got the out of Toronto. Toronto's out of it. You go up there and you get Justin Turner, a nice veteran, and the other veteran is another good guy, Springer.
Both of those guys have not had very good consistent years, by the way.
No, but they, in the past they've done really good. They can't be any worse than what we got in our lineup. We got three of the automatic outs. And you guys are, everybody's defeated attitude really burns me up. And I think that this is not abated. They went to bed here in the next 3 weeks. Then I'll say, you know, you probably get rid of some people like Chapman and that. But got to be proactive. Another guy that is real, I don't know how to put it. But anyway, they had a guy named William, utility guy, could take play second and
Alika.
Short. Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Bob. And but he's a guy at least can put bunt the ball, not like that center fielder yesterday to try three times to bunt it and he couldn't get it down. What kind of coaching they got on that team is terrible. And I just think that they're still in it, but this is D-Day now. They got 3 weeks to make it. They got a team now. If they get a couple veterans in there with that great pitching and that.
Well, thank you, Doc. Yeah, I mean, we all know that, but again, we've been saying it's D-Day for three weeks. Now they've wasted 3 weeks. Right?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be proactive, the time has come and gone. They could have done that a little earlier and try to avoid some of these losses with a bat or two. But I know it's not easy to do, but at the same time, the responsibility is on the general manager to do stuff like that when you think you can help your team. And there was a time when they could have done that, I think. But now, you know, if you wait, and all of a sudden things go the other direction, you're under no urgency to do that. And so you'll keep your prospects and keep treading in that direction. But again, this is 5 years. Results matter. They need to have better results. They should be further ahead than this. I look at the Orioles and I watch what they've done with some of their guys and their young guys. Last year they were terrific. This year they're better. And it's year three of their new regime. So it can be done.
Well, again, but he did say the word proactive. And the Pirates are never proactive. Or they haven't been very proactive. They usually are very reactive. And that's never good. Who's next?
Here's Jesse in Point Breeze.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, what's up, guys? First time, long time.
Thank you.
Yeah, a couple quick things. First, back to the last caller. Absolutely right. Terrible coaching on this team. They don't develop anyone. Mostly everyone underachieves under Shelton. And I think he's proven that in a couple years. On to Skeens. I agree. If he's healthy, you got to pitch him. Every win matters for this team. They're not 10 games above 500. They don't have the talent to sacrifice games with Sunday lineups and not pitching their bulls. They got to use everyone when they're healthy and get a little more out of them to get those couple critical wins. And as far as Skeens goes, look at this guy. He is built different. He's a 16-year-old Mike Tyson. He's a rookie Ben Roethlisberger. This guy has legs. This guy's a bull. Get him in there and pitch him and sign him now. What does this organization have to lose? Sign him now. And back to your original question, original point, like other players, in my lifetime, this guy is one of three players that have absolutely passed the eye test and live up to expectations instantly. One was a rookie Ben Roethlisberger, like I already said. The other one was a rookie Sidney Crosby, and then Paul Skeens. There you go. Sign him, pay him, play him. Later, guys.
Thank you. Again, takes two to tango. And if I'm Paul Skeens' agent, I'm not sure I'm jumping at. You know, but if they're gonna if they wanna come up with like a big number, like what if Paul Skeens says, well, I'll tell you what, you offered a 10 for 140. What if he counters, the 8 for 140? What if he says, give me 10 for 280? It's $28 million a year. Would you do it?
Again, I think he's going to bet on himself and listen to his agent. And they're going to try to shorten this window here, I would bet, and try to get to that area where you can cash in on a free agent. And he still can do that. Even if you give him 10, he'd be 32. But if you give him 8, he's 30. Yeah. You know, if you give him 6, he's 28.
Right.
He will have a second contract if everything goes the way, and he's healthy. But again, the guaranteed money is a lure. If you can get it, knowing full well that you will never have to work another day in your life and you can set up your family, that's attractive.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
To some.
We've got our good friend, Noah House, who is down at the stadium getting ready to... are you down at the stadium or are you off today?
I am not at the stadium. I have a flight to Milwaukee in a couple of hours.
Oh, okay.
So. Oh, wonderful place to be this time of year, Noah, the Noah Constrictor.
Hey, I'm happy to go anywhere, Mr. Pompeian.
No, I know. I'm saying that's actually a nice city, but the results haven't been all that much going on there. So we've been talking about the last 7 games before the All-Star break, and to me, you got to go like 6-1 if you're going to be in this situation, don't you?
Well,
I completely agree. I mean, just looking at where this home stand started, that was the big conversation. They had 10 huge games, 7 of them at home against the Cardinals and the Mets, and then 3 against the Brewers. And I said on these airwaves that you've got to go 6-3, 7-3, 6-4 in those games right there in this stretch. And right now they're 2-4. So they've got to get hot real quick. And I guess the easy part of that is the final 3 games before the All-Star break should be very, very winnable because you're going against the worst team in baseball who probably all have, you know, vacation reservations already made for the break. But, you know, this is a challenging game. You've got to get this split with the Mets today, and you've got to find a way to grind out a series win in Milwaukee. Otherwise, I mean, you're really losing ground here.
But visions of Oakland pop in my head when you say Chicago is easy. I get it, but... That can, you never know about baseball.
You do. You never know. And I mean, you've got guys who on that team who are maybe trying to make a case to become a player for another team. And maybe they have a little bit of extra motivation at this point in the season because of that. I don't know. Like you said, Pomp, I mean, baseball is so unpredictable. Nothing is guaranteed.
Well, I think that the biggest thing is, they had a chance to gain ground and they haven't the last week. If they were to go 3-3 on this road trip, even if they go 3-3, you know, win one in Milwaukee and two in Chicago or whatever, I mean, at that point, you have to really start to wonder, are they going to gear up, or are they going to maybe sell a few assets and sort of just say, hey, we're gonna wait till next year?
I mean, the way things are trending right now, I think it would make sense to start building for 2025. That doesn't necessarily mean a complete fire sale, but I think that you need to make moves that are going to be in the better interest of the future, which means, you know, getting younger guys such as Kyle Nicklaus more opportunities in high leverage situations, getting at bats for guys like Henry Davis and Jack Sawinski, who clearly need to figure out their issues. And that might come over a priority then, or that might be the priority rather than trying to find a rental who can come in and provide a bigger impact for now. I also think, you know, as far as 2025 mentality is concerned, you can make moves that make your team better now and in the future. I think that right now they'd be wrong to consider any rentals. I don't see how a rental really benefits this club considering where they're at in the standings. It's just the overall quality of baseball that they've played this season. They've proven to be a slightly below 500 team. That's what they've been pretty much all year. And if you're going to be that, then get someone who, sure, they can make you better now, but make you better in the future. If you can acquire an everyday position player with multiple years of control, that's a good move to make. And I think you can make that move while also maybe dealing off some of these guys on one-year contracts who would have some potential value at the deadline.
I look at the situation now specific to injuries, Noah. Now that we know that Jared Jones is going to be shut down, now that we know that Bailey Falter is going to be out, likely until after the break or maybe then some, what do they do? Ortiz is I told Paul earlier in this show here that I didn't like the trade of Ronzi Contreras. I know he struggled. A lot of guys struggle. Ortiz is somebody who I think has to be in the rotation now with the way he pitched yesterday, and I think there's a lot to like about him. What do they do to kind of augment their pitching staff with these injuries? And how long do you think Jared Jones will be out? Because it sounds to me like it may be a long way before he comes back.
I don't think we'll see Jared Jones before August. I don't think we'll see him for the rest of this month, just with the All-Star break. And I mean, the fact that he's not throwing for 2 weeks and then they'll start his, you know, evaluation and they'll reassess everything. I just think the calendar lines up for him to come back in early August. I don't think it's that serious of an injury, but at the same time, they're going to treat it seriously because he's a very important piece to this puzzle long term. So I wouldn't expect him to be back anytime before August. I think Charrington even said as much yesterday on his radio show. Falter, I don't know when he comes back, and I don't know what kind of role he has when he's back. When you look, he's already eclipsed his career high in innings pitched as a major leaguer, and he did that in the first half of the season. So, you know, to see him do that and then also go down with an arm injury, that might be enough for me to say, okay, well, whenever you do come back, you're taking Luis Ortiz's role as a long inning reliever in the bullpen, and Luis Ortiz is hanging on to your role in the starting rotation. And it's not merit-based, although Luis has proven that he deserves to be in the starting rotation with how well he's pitched. It's more his arm's healthier than yours right now. And so how do you manage that without Falter and Jones available for the foreseeable future, I guess, speaking, you know, weeks, maybe a month or so? I mean, you rely on your depth, like we saw yesterday. Luis Ortiz can go right in there and be a very viable option as a starter. You got Quinn Priester coming back from a rehab stint here soon. I think he's going to be big league ready, and you could bring him up. Marco Gonzalez is a guy that I think will be ready for big league action probably toward the back end of this month, and you could maybe bring him back and add him into the rotation after the All-Star break. So right there, there's five starters right there. Braxton Ashcraft's backed off the IL. He threw three innings this weekend of relief. You could go Domingo Germán as well as another option. Michael Burrows is working on a rehab stint right now in Bradenton. That's a little further down the line. But, I mean, they have options is what I'm trying to say. And if they continue to fall further out of this thing, Pomp, then it might be in their best interest to give more young guys like your Ashcrafts, your Burrows, opportunities in August and September, because those are guys that are going to help you win next year.
Well, I think is Marco Gonzalez, is he back this week, do you think?
I don't think so. I think just because, I mean, he's rehabbing in AAA. So I don't see how Marco can only need one or two starts.
Okay, so then if you
major league out.
Yeah, the question then is, like, if you look at, they're going to have two holes in their rotation this week, with Falter and Jones being down. You figure one will be Ortiz. Is the other one going to be Quinn Priester? Because I think it's going to be really difficult to do a bullpen game if you have to use Ortiz as a starter on the day before.
Yeah, it will probably be Quinn Priester. That would be my assumption. And again, that's just speculation. But I think his start day lines up, I believe, with Mitch Keller's. So I don't know if he's scheduled to start. I haven't looked in Indianapolis's game notes today. But if that is the case, then I think maybe they could just move him straight to Milwaukee today and he could start tomorrow. And they don't have a listed starter for tomorrow, to my knowledge. Again, I didn't check the game notes this morning. That could be different. But it would make sense for him to just fill into that fifth spot because he kind of falls in line with where Jared would need to be anyway, because Jared's spot in the rotation would be up tomorrow. So that would be my guess, is Quinn Priester is probably the next guy in line, and it'd be him and Ortiz filling Falter and Jones's spots.
No, I want to ask you about looking back in the season. If it does end up being another season where they miss out, I have to question the offseason and some of the stuff that Ben Cherington brought in and his expectations of those. And, you can look at Chapman, you can look at Grandal, you can look at Taylor, you can look at a lot of guys, but he hasn't gotten the kind of bang for his buck I would have thought he would have expected. Did that kind of doom this season? Because if you look at it, there's so many teams, all you have to do is be right around 500 and you'd have a chance to get in this. Looking back, would that be the number one reason why you think they missed out on opportunity, if in fact they do?
I think it plays a big part in it. I would combine the guys they acquired in the offseason and the young players that the front office trusted to be a big part of the lineup. I mean, the main thing missing from this team from opening day until now is power at the plate. I mean, they're not hitting enough home runs. That's what you need to do to win baseball games in today's game. And you look at the guys that they thought were going to be home run hitters for them this year: Henry Davis, Jack Sawinski, Rowdy Tellez, Ke'Bryan Hayes to even a certain extent. They haven't gotten anything. I mean, Rowdy's come on lately, but I mean, the rest of those guys, if you make Michael A. Taylor a league average hitter this year, I mean, this was a guy who had 20 home runs last season, and he's given nothing offensively this year. If you make him a league average hitter this year, if you make Jack Sawinski a league average hitter this year, Ke'Bryan Hayes, Henry Davis, I mean, this is a team that's probably in first place. So when you talk about the offseason acquisitions, I mean, Rowdy Tellez, he's been great these last 5 weeks, but he hurt the team by not hitting the ball well in April and May. Michael A. Taylor has been a detriment offensively this whole year. And you look at the pitching acquisitions, I mean, they've been okay, but the guys you already had have been the best of the bunch, and Grandal, I don't think, has really added anything. I mean, the biggest acquisition Cherington's made has been, as far as 2024 is concerned, is Bart, really. When you look at it, I don't know who else you can really point to as far as free agency or trades focused on this year. Maybe Chapman, but Chapman's been up and down, I would say, especially offensively. Bart's really been the biggest biggest guy they brought in.
Yeah, I think Bart has been interesting because he's sort of been a breath of fresh air in some ways, based on what they did. I just think that if they're going to have next year, I hate saying this because it feels like we say this every year, but if they're going to kick the can down the road a little bit, next year absolutely has to be the year where everything comes together, doesn't it? I mean, there can be no more excuses. There can be no more, we're young. There can be no more, you know, this. You've got two young superstar pitchers at the top of your rotation who are both going to have a full year under their belt, so they're not rookies anymore. You've got, obviously, Mitch Keller, who is, you know, a really good pitcher as your third pitcher. The two rookies that you have are going to make almost nothing. So you should have money to go out and do what you have to do to fix a couple of the positions where you need help. I mean, doesn't next year absolutely have to be it?
It absolutely has to be it. I said at the beginning of the year, I felt that 2023 could be the equivalent of 2011, which would make this year 2012. And people look back at 2012 and remember that team was, I think, as much, many as 20 games over 500 at one point, which this team hasn't been. But in the end, they finished beneath 500. They were just slightly better than the year prior. But 2012 was important because that's when pretty much the whole core was up and got a year together, with the exception of Garrett Cole. That's when you got Marte up. That's when you got Pedro and Neil and Andrew and all these guys kind of playing together. But they still had to add to that. And that's what's got to happen this offseason, if this is the 2012. Because you did have players establish themselves as a superstar this year. You had two of them, starting pitchers, show that, hey, my first full year in the big leagues, I can make an impact. So now you need to identify these needs. They need to find their Russell Martin for this group. And I don't think it needs to be a catcher, but it needs to be a veteran, an established veteran that's not well past his prime, that's here on a multi-year deal. It's hard to invest in a leader in the clubhouse when the guy's on a one-year contract and could be gone in July or would definitely be gone in November. So I think when you look at what this team has going for itself heading into this upcoming offseason, you really know what your strengths are and what your strengths are going to be for years to come. You know what areas you really need to add to, and you have money to spend because pretty much all of the big contracts on your books, with the exception of proven commodities that you've extended to multi-year deals, but you're getting Chapman off the books, you're getting Perez off the books, you're getting Gonzalez off the books, Rowdy. You can reinvest that money into something more long-term. The one-year deals need to stop with this. That's what the difference needs to be this offseason. It needs to be a multi-year contract on a proven commodity rather than a one-year deal on a guy where, hey, if he does well, good for us, because we can either flip him at the deadline or hang on to him if we're in a place to compete. That's where the mentality has to change.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just you feel like the Pirates for too long, especially under Ben Cherington, just haven't been all that proactive. We've said that word about 15 times today, but it's true.
And we've been talking, you mentioned the word proactive, so Noah will ask you this because we kicked this around. And again, I look down the road, it's hard to do because there are a lot of things that can happen. But a guy like Skeens strikes me as I'm going to bet on myself kind of guy. And we're talking about money. We're talking about down the road money. What he makes now, what he may expect of the Pirates down the road. Would you be in favor of doing something sooner rather than later with regard to his future money, knowing that if you don't, then the window is going to be the window and that's the end of it?
I think the window for that might have already been closed, if we're being completely honest. I mean, why in the world would this guy? Why in the world would this guy sign anything before free agency with his talent? I mean, you can try. I certainly would make it a priority. Him and Jones, extend them both right now. And you can go to them and say, "Look, sure. If you wait till free agency, you probably will get a lot more than this. But this gives you security, knowing if you do get hurt, you'll have this to fall back on."
Give us a number.
That would be,
I'm curious how many years and how much money we're talking about.
I mean, it's got to be nine figures. It's got to be. And it's, I mean, you look at how young they both are. I can't even begin to speculate what kind of deal what that would look like. Because normally when you lock up a young talent this early in their career, it's a position player. You don't see typically that type of deal extended to a pitcher because of the arm injury risk and everything. But with Skeens and Jones, especially Skeens, I mean, he's a guy where it's just, everything's kind of different for him. So I don't know if it would be in his best interest to sign any type of extension with any team, not just the Pirates. Like if he was on the Dodgers or anybody anywhere else, it might just be in his best interest to say, nah, I want to get to free agency when I'm still in my late 20s, still have a good decade of baseball still to play. And because, I mean, he, the way it looks right now is he's going to be making way more money than the Pirates could ever pay him.
Baseball coverage on The Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon using their savings calculator to find out at T-Mobile.com/switch. Noah, I saw that they brought Henry Davis up to Triple A. They, you know, started his rehab assignment or whatever they're doing in Triple A. Will we see him again on the major league team this year?
Yeah, I think we will. I don't think it'll be anytime soon. I think they want to continue to let him work through what he's going through. I mean, there are some issues that I didn't necessarily see corrected in his short time during his return to the big leagues in June. And this is a guy where, and again, based off of how the season's trending, fixing him is probably one of your biggest priorities as the postseason picture looks to not include the Pirates here as we're moving forward. Getting guys like Sawinski, Davis, Hayes, getting them right, that's got to be your biggest motivation for August and September. So if that's the case, then I think you got to let him really figure things out in AAA. I know he's hit the ball there well, but it's got to be just results. It's got to be how he's doing it. It's got to be showing a difference in mechanics. You know, how is he hitting certain pitches? What's he barreling? Where is he hitting the pitches in the zone? Stuff like that. So that way when he can come back up here, it can be a little different. It won't be as many strikeouts. It won't be just hitting the ball to one little area in the field. It'll be, you know, what you need him to be. So I think, yes, we will see him back here, but I think they're going to take their time with him and it would make sense to do so.
Well, Noah, I appreciate you jumping on with us as always. Great.
Good
stuff.
Talking to you, Noah.
Good talking to
Have
you.
Have a nice trip in Milwaukee, yes. By the way. Are you going after that to Chicago?
I'm not. No, I'm heading back just for the Milwaukee series.
So. Oh, okay.
And then that schedule gets tough after the All-Star game too, huh? I mean, you got some big time teams coming in.
Yeah, that's, the month of July was going to be the big test for the Pirates altogether. And, there's three easy games right before the All-Star break. But after that, I mean, they're going to have to earn their stripes. And if they don't, then they're out of it. Mm-hmm. So I'll be there to cover it, though. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, Noah.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.